Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros looking for a seventh straight win this afternoon against the Rockies. The Rockets have the third pick in tonight's draft, and could theoretically make a blockbuster deal, whether it's for Kevin Durant or another star tonight. At least that's what the rumor mill online has suggested. And incredibly, that might not be the best story in local sports today. Yesterday, we played for you audio of Texas A&M head coach at the time, Jim Schlossnagle, who was asked a question after Tennessee beat Texas A&M in the College World Series about his future and if he was potentially thinking about leaving Texas A&M for Texas. In case you missed it, here is what Schlossnagle had to say right after that loss.
Coach, with respect to the difficult outcome tonight, but with the rumors circulating today about a specific job opening, what do you have to say about your future in Aggieland?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again. And that hasn't changed in my mind. That's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question. But I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job, and I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job, and I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. So write that.
So we wrote that, only for less than 24 hours later, Jim Schlossnagle to take the Texas head coaching job. And the way that he did it has been, I gotta say, about as unmanly as possible.
Scumbag.
So, Ryan Targak, who is a pitcher for Texas A&M, tweeted after the loss, about 23 hours later, "I've been sitting on this for a while, but I can't express my gratitude enough to Texas A&M and the 12th man. It has been the best 4 years of my life, and that would not have been possible without the endless support. Forever thankful, thanks, and gig'em." Someone responds to him, says, "Once again, no mention of a coach. It's all making sense." Targak says, "I found out on Twitter probably 2 hours after I posted this. I had no clue. Schlossnagle left without telling anyone at Texas A&M, at least on the player side of things."
Yeah, this is why I don't understand why there was any pushback to the conversation we were having yesterday about the question that was being asked, that it was even asked. Because this guy, like, what about the kids? Well, what about the kids? He abandoned his team. Kendall Rogers, who is a managing editor for D1 Baseball, has reported that this deal has been done since April 27th. since they played Georgia. That April 27th, that's 2 months. This deal has been done, and you're trying to act like this guy is holier than thou, coach? This is why the question's asked, because these coaches do not care about their players. They care about themselves. And honestly, I would have no issue with this guy leaving to find a new job. Go get your bag, do your thing. I think the family nonsense that he spewed, I left my family for this job.
Well,
you suck, dude.
And let's be honest, I mean, there's a chance that based off of how bad that divorce was, that his wife left him and then he left TCU for Texas A&M, only to leave Texas A&M now for Texas. I guess Schlossnagel has apologized at a press conference where he introduced himself as the new head coach of Texas baseball. Here he is apologizing to the guy who asked the question, Richard Zane. Shout out to Richard Zane of Texags. Here's what Schlossnagel had to say.
I want to publicly apologize to Richard Zane from Texags. He's a young reporter. He asked the question. That was an obvious question. I wish I could have answered that better. But in the moment, all, you know, 30 minutes after the last pitch, all I could think about was our players. And I really wasn't in the mood to talk about myself or the future. So I apologize for that to Richard.
Even then, to say 30 minutes after your loss, you're thinking about your players, you've already left. You already know you're going to a rival. You know you're staying in the SEC and you're going to Texas. Like it's just a lie.
You can't say but in an apology.
Yeah. But anything that comes after the but, you know, is a lie.
The but afterwards means that this is why I did it. And honestly, I'm more upset about the blowback that I got. So all of that for nothing. That whole speech, I'm an Aggie for life, for nothing. And maybe we should have known about this. This is something that Sean showed us yesterday in our little group chat. I don't know when this took place, but after a game, Schlossnagel was complaining about Aggies fans. Here's what he had to say.
This is a tough game, man. People, I get our own fans yelling at our players over the dugout. Like, I don't know what kind of place this is, but I thought there was some Aggie loyalty around here. You know, got a dude holding up a freaking newspaper when the dance team's over on the other side. Like, I don't know. I need to keep my mouth shut, but
I'm going to keep my mouth shut. That's my favorite part. Right after he apologizes, I'm going to keep my mouth shut after getting mad at Aggies fans. And look, it's not like Aggie fans have a great track record these College World Series with the comments that they made about the passed away bad boy, my God, for the Florida Gators. But all of this stuff right now, it is very easy for everyone to dump on Texas A&M former head coach, now Texas head coach, Jim Schlossnagel. And there's all sorts of different things to dissect here. The money, was that the difference? Was the location the difference? Is this just who Schlossnagel is? Somebody who's maybe a little bit commitment phobic? Whatever it is. If you're Texas, are you happy about this? After the way things went down? I mean, I think if you're a Texas fan, you're probably laughing.
Oh, 100%.
And I feel bad for Aggies fans today. I truly do. I mean, think about it from this perspective. You have a number of players entering the transfer portal all of a sudden. You have players who are openly calling out how the coaches didn't do anything for them over the course of the year. But now everyone's leaving, and you came within one run of winning the College World Series. And for it to go down like this, it does suck. It does. I truly feel bad for Aggies fans today.
Ah, man, I struggle with that because
why?
It's
still
hard.
Sucks, man.
It does, but like they don't apologize for stealing Kevin Sumlin from the Cougs.
Is it different like when it's a power program, SEC program.
Okay. You're going to really upset a lot of Cougs with this, but
I think you're
onto something here, because that is more of a step up. You're going from, at that time, the American Athletic Conference or whatever conference the Cougs were in at the time, to, you know, the Big 12 or SEC. So that jump does logically make more sense. Financially, it's going to be much bigger. You're staying in Texas. You're staying in the SEC. And, you know, this guy, it's just I get why A&M fans are upset. But it is part of the business.
They should be upset.
Yeah, and I agree. And, you know, they had all these expectations that, you know, between Buzz Williams and Jimbo Fisher and Jim Schlossnagel, all these guys who have won championships or made deep runs, going just to the College World Series, going to Sweet 16s, Elite Eights, and Final Fours with Buzz Williams, and they all failed. They all failed, or are failing, or have left. Like, I've seen a bunch of old takes exposed from, like, Nuno, and I like a lot of those guys, but Texas A&M thought that they were, you know, on the cusp of, like, the golden era of Aggie sports, and they kind of fell on their face. For the most part. So I get why they're upset. I mean, like, I was upset when Brian Kelly left Notre Dame to go to LSU. It is part of it, but it does happen.
Red Raider Ryan comments on our text line, this is typical low-class UT. They steal local coaches. Talked about Chris Beard.
I mean, well then, like I just said, hypocrite.
All with questionable character. Trash coaches, trash school, CTC, Chris Del Conte, is the worst kind of scumbag. And from the sound of things, he's boys with Schlossnagel. It seems like Texas A&M did have perhaps a little bit of a role in this, because he is joining his bestie, and I guess it's not about money. There's, I think, an assistant coach that ended up getting canned when Chris Alberts took over mm-hmm. as the athletic director. So there's other things here, and you could argue, well, Texas A&M brought them about this on themselves. But for it to go down like this, it's just so consistent for college sports. And I almost wonder what the point of a press conference is anymore. I mean, I think that question that was asked by Texax was perfectly valid. But they lie all of the time. They're hypocrites all of the time. College sports, professional sports, it's performative public relations. It's nothing more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, months, years down the road, you can contrast audio from the present to the past and say, that guy's a liar. That person changed their mind. Well, that's the reality of everybody in life. But really, these press conferences, which we put so much focus into, how much of an impact does what somebody says into a microphone speaking performatively to people who do not actually decide if they keep their job, who do not get to gauge how well they're doing their job? How much do these things matter? I wonder about them going forward. I go to these from time to time. I like to ask a tough question from time to time and maybe pat myself on the back a little bit. I'm a hard-hitting Big J journalist. But ultimately, if somebody is willing to go up in front of a podium and just flippantly lie,
yeah,
what is the point of taking any of these coaches at their word, and specifically college coaches more than any other one? I'm glad that players are finally having the ability to transfer from one school to another and play immediately, because this is routine for coaches across the sport, and it sucks. If you're an Aggie fan, you thought you had something special. You were an out away from a College World Series, and now you're going to have a completely different team and coaching staff next year.
Yeah, and as you know, Billy, the text line points out, Billy Lucci has made it seem like he was leaving even if they won. I mean, like, you're going to leave? You're going to win a College World Series, and you're going to leave? That's crazy to me. That, to me, says more about the character of this coach than it does, you know, most situations. Because that, to me, is really rather extreme. I can't imagine a world. Well, I mean, I guess it almost just happened. I mean, you know, DeBoer left Washington for Alabama. I don't view Jim Harbaugh in the same situation as he's going to the pros. Like, if this guy left for a Major League Baseball job, I would feel differently. But to basically be like, I'm leaving no matter what, even if you won a championship, to me, it just speaks to your character. And I'm... I wouldn't want that guy representing my organization. It is a vertical move. You're in the same conference. I thought the back and forth that you and Nuno had yesterday from Texags, David Nuno, who obviously a lot of people here in Houston know. And
I love David.
He's great.
We had a private conversation afterwards as well. So we went back and forth because I said, listen, for the College Station folks out there, the Aggie fans out there, you do have a massive wallet all of a sudden. And that is cool, but it does not guarantee that people are going to stay with you for life. Because I think the reality that you have to think about, if you are a program like this, no offense to College Station and Bryan, I'm sure some people love it. Personally, I would never want to live there because it's a little too small for my taste, and it's not close to the water. If it was close to the water, I would completely think differently about it because your boy wants to retire to some small beach town and just get sunburnt and
Galveston
and wear nothing for the rest of my life eventually. But hey, maybe it's Corpus Christi. I don't know. What I do know is that in this spot right here, if you are trying to draw people to this school, money will help you, but there's going to be a lot of other factors at play here. It could be families. It could be children. And you're going to have to get people to be sold on a town like College Station and Bryan. And I don't know how different it is compared to Tuscaloosa or compared to Baton Rouge or some of the other programs in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that College Station in Texas is competing with so many different spots in Texas that might be places that others want to go.
I mean, look what he's done. He's gone from TCU.
Fort Worth.
To Texas A&M.
To College Station.
To Texas.
To Austin. And if you're Texas A&M, that is the unfortunate thing that you have. You might have a lot of money, but you're also competing with these other locations, which might be preferable. Waco is pretty. You do have to fall in line with the ideals at that university. But it is nice to drive through. That stadium is in a pretty cool spot. I'm sure that that's could be an easier small town to sell your family on. I don't know about Greater Waco. I just know Baylor's campus is very pretty.
Yeah.
For Austin, some people love it. Some people hate it. All towns are different, but I think there are a lot of people that are Aggie fans online yesterday and on our Twitch yesterday, assuming there was no way that Schlossnagel would leave when he apparently had already agreed to leave back in April. And I think you have to look at yourself in the mirror and just realize the money does not guarantee anything. It does not buy loyalty, especially in this sport where everyone is a snake and seems to be looking out for themselves.
100%. And I still, even though all this stuff, my biggest issue is it just shows like how fundamentally flawed college athletics are. We saw this in March Madness. We've now seen this in the College World Series. This is why it's stupid to have the transfer portal open. I mean, like right now. And then it closes in like apparently in like a week and a half for college baseball. So now Texas A&M has to like try to rebuild their program in like a week. You've got players saying, if you don't want to be here, that's your loss, and then having to delete tweets because they're entering the transfer portal. Like, it's such chaos in college athletics. The tampering. I mean, this guy is reportedly texting players from Texas from a burner phone during the College World Series. That's what's happening with Schlossnagel. Like, it is chaos right now in college sports. And, like, big picture-wise, I still don't think we're even close to seeing mass chaos. To me, it's when we get to the college football playoff next year, maybe the year after, and a team is going to be in the college football playoff, they're going to win their first round game, and a coach is going to leave. Like, I think that is going to happen in the next 2-3 years is a coach like Lane Kiffin will win a college football playoff game, and he will leave for a better job during the college football playoffs. And that's really when the chaos is going to unfold in college sports.
We'll see on that front. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. We're at the Highway Cantina all afternoon. Killer Bees are up next here. Coming up next, there is more Schlossnagel that we got to hear because he claimed something that a lot of people would certainly argue he sure as hell didn't. And we're not talking about the original comments that he changed his mind on so quickly. Also, where does this rank among coaches in Texas college sports leaving for other Texas colleges? Because we've seen a lot of that over the years. First, I got to tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Yeah, baby. I love me some Pendleton. Is that song going to stick in your head the same way as the one that I've been singing about the place I'm at right now? Probably not. But listen, guys, Pendleton Whiskey is fantastic stuff. Why is it so good? Because of what it's made with, the finest northern grains. It's cut with glacier water from Oregon's Mount Hood, and it's barrel-aged in American oak. You blend it all together, you get something that's going to satisfy your inner cowboy that's steeped in true Western tradition. You can go to Pendleton Whiskey's website to see all sorts of different bottles that they have available for you. On top of those different bottles, they've got all sorts of cocktails that you can make. Have you ever had a Rodeo Mary? Yeah, it's a Pendleton Bloody Mary. It's a great idea. You're probably thinking to yourself, Paul, you're crazy. Yes, I am, but it's pretty good. I'm telling you. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition. Get some at your local liquor store or via pendletonwhiskey.com today.
Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Highway Cantina in Edo.
The big news in college sports yesterday was the departure of Jim Schlossnagel, who had said that when asked about the UT job and his potential interest in it, that TLDR, I'm going nowhere. Only for him to go and take that Texas coaching gig the very next day. He had a press conference to introduce him as the new head coach of University of Texas baseball today. And he said that he poured his heart into that Texas A&M job.
I dove in with every single ounce of me to help A&M have the very best baseball program it can possibly have. And that investment lasted through the last pitch of the national championship game. It never wavered, not one second. I don't care what anybody says. As Chris likes to say, we have jobs and try to run a business on other people's passion. And if I had left Texas A&M for some other school in a different part of the country, the interesting text messages and messages that I got yesterday probably wouldn't have happened. But I get it. You can't ask for your fan base to support you and be passionate like the 12th man always has been, but really was this year. Our crowds were awesome. Awesome. Every single game. And so you can't ask for that like I did and our staff did and then expect everybody to be okay with a coach leaving for its rival school. And I get it. And I get it. All I can say is I have a career too. I have a personal life as well. That there, I have goals, and I just simply felt like no negative at A&M, just the positives of the alignment and, frankly, my relationship with Chris, that I knew there wasn't anybody at Texas A&M that I couldn't trust. I just know that I can trust Chris. I just know that.
He has a career too, Joe. How dare you call him, you know, a scumbag for pursuing his dreams.
He's right. Like, he does have the right. I go back to the family comment. That's what is pissing me off about this guy. Like, I don't care at all about A&M or the UT. Like, I'm not a fan of either team. I just like...
You don't like one or the other? You have to pick one.
Go Cougs. I just... It's the family thing. When he made that big dramatic claim of, I left my family for this job. I'm like, dude, like, we know you're leaving. It's okay to be upset with the question. It's okay to leave and go get a better job and leave College Station. But that comment just, for some reason, just, like, really annoys me. And then to even... Just all of it. Like, I'm glad he understands why there's blowback, because he's right. Like, they should be pissed because they're going to a rival. They might not be as pissed if he went to, you know, Tennessee or Georgia or Alabama. But it is Texas. So I get why they're upset, but he's just... I'm going to be very anti-UT, I think, going forward.
Yeah?
I think so.
Wow.
At least in baseball. I work with too many Longhorns. That's the problem.
Yeah,
Brian, Sean.
Yep, Brian, Sean, our producer back at Mission Control. BMAC's out here with us. And look, I tend to lean UT
mainly because my two besties are UT fans. I didn't go to one. I more than anything just want the rivalry to be back.
Oh, please.
And I mean, it is going to be back in such a big way for, first, just the first Texas versus Texas A&M football game that we've seen in over a decade, but also the college baseball side of it now, too. I imagine tickets for those games next year are already through the roof.
Dude, I'll be honest. I'm kind of like, this is giving me Caitlin Clark vibes a little bit. I don't care about the WNBA. But
there's
Caitlin
not a
Clark,
culture war. There's not a race war behind this. What are you talking about?
Like, I got no interest, really. Like, I like watching the College World Series, but and I like going to the games that they play here at Minute Maid when they do the College Baseball Classic every year. I might be interested in SEC baseball next year now. I might drive to Austin for this game.
I'd still rather watch WNBA. Still rather watch. There's too much clinking and pinging and all that stuff. But I'm kidding to an extent. It's not something I go out of my way to watch. But it will be interesting to see all of the drama that comes out here. And you got to wonder what Texas A&M fans who are supposedly classy are going to say about this guy, Schlossnagel, now that he's gone from one school to another. It has me wondering, where does this rank among the all-time leaving one Texas school for another moments? Behannon points out that it's been rough for our beloved Cougs. Art Briles left the Cougs for Baylor. Kevin Sumlin left the Cougs for Texas A&M. Tom Herman left the Cougs for UT. Similar situation where Tom Herman got very, very mad at the station that I was working at the time, to the point that he canceled all interviews with that station going forward because somebody wrote a blog with a list of 10 schools that Tom Herman could end up at next.
And he got that mad? He canceled them all?
Yes, he did. He did. He got very hostile in several interviews that he did with the morning show at the time. There was one really awkward one that he did with Nick Wright.
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that.
That one is probably the worst. You have Chris Beard leaving Texas Tech for Texas right after the success that Texas Tech had in the NCAA tournament, getting all the way to the last game. You've had a lot of this.
I think it feels like
the Cougs seem to get battered the most by it, though.
But that's what you talked about, where it's your lower level school. Even now that you're in the Big 12, you're still not in one of the main conferences. You know, it's still very likely that at some point you will have coaches leave for bigger and better things. It's actually, I kind of like their strategy of avoiding this. You know, I don't know if I'm not trying to be an ageist here, okay? I don't know if Willie Fritz and Kelvin Sampson, at their age, are thinking about like that next big job. Now, Sampson's turned U of H into the big job.
Yeah,
but like, I wonder, like, let's say his kid takes over the program and has some success, will he be super loyal to the Cougs?
If you're ambitious, you think about the next job, no matter what. I think that if Fritz is offered a ton of money at another place too, he would certainly think about it, because there's probably a limit in what the Cougs can offer, given that they just parted ways with their athletic director. They're not making that much revenue, you know. So, Double Rods points out on the Twitch, he's just doing what 99% of football and basketball coaches do. Funny how this is such a shocker to anyone. It's not about it being a shocker.
Yeah,
it's more about he said one thing and completely lied based off of his actions 24 hours later. And he went from a school that considers itself to be top shelf, upper class, for another school that knows it is that.
Yeah.
We made fun of the people getting mad about the questions yesterday, but Joe, we also made fun of this mindset that Texas has that they can have anything that they want. And look at this, they got anything they want.
I mean, they kind of can. I mean, they really can, for the most part, get whatever they want. Besides, like Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh. If they want to move on from Sark at some point in the next year or two for some reason, they could get any college football coach probably in the country. Especially now that Saban's gone, they could get whoever they wanted besides Kirby Smart. Whatever they want, it's theirs. When you have facilities, you have money, you have fans, it goes a long way. And A&M, as much money as they put into their program, they seem to have a hard time with this. And I don't know if it's a small-town thing that factors in or it's the appeal of Austin in this situation, but It is just part of it. Like trying, someone tried to call me out earlier on the Twitch. Like, if 6'10 offered you money, you'd go too. Yeah, probably.
Whoa!
Like
middle management, Joe.
I left 790 because I got a better job that paid me more money.
You're a radio slut, dude.
I advanced my career.
No, dude. You're a whore, and you don't care.
I have worked at every station.
You don't care about me. You don't care about BMAC. You don't care about Sean.
I care about you.
You don't care. No, clearly you don't.
Hey,
clearly you said you would leave me.
I didn't apply for that job that's open.
You said you would leave me.
I mean, they had to pay me like double because I don't want to be miserable. So, like, you know, there's like a work-life balance here.
I feel like you're sharing a little too much here, Joe.
I don't think so.
And then, listen.
It's just reality.
We don't want you to get schlossnagled.
I'm not going to get schlossnagled.
You're
more confident in saying his name today, by the way.
Well, yeah. At first, whenever I see it, I'm thinking, and perhaps this is a read into who I am and confirm some of the rumors that a lot of people believe about me. But when I see schlossnagel, I don't know, I get a little dyslexic and I see the word schlong. I'm sorry. I see the word schlong.
I didn't know that's what you were struggling with.
That's what I was struggling with the whole time.
I thought you were going to say sloshed.
No, I was going to say schlongnagel.
Yeah,
I thought schlossnagel.
I thought you were worried about saying sloshed.
No,
Nagle.
Every single time I had to reread it because I wasn't and there's been a couple of times today where I have filibustered just for a moment just to make sure I'm reading it so that I don't say schlongnagel. But I'm sure a lot of
– Maybe we should call him that.
Well, listen, I'll save that for the Aggies out there.
Yeah.
I'll save that for the Aggies. From the 409, Tommy Tuberville leaving Texas Tech in the middle of a recruitment dinner. Oh, boy. Tommy Tuberville. What a rat bastard that guy is.
I forgot about him.
He's like a how
is he still a senator?
I believe he is.
I think he might have lost his last election. It's always funny like when you'd see him on like political channels and he's like, Tommy Tuberville. Let's see. Is he still an American politician? I think he still is, yeah. Last coach at Cincinnati. I think that those are the worst, the ones who like leave college recruiting trips in the middle. Jim Harbaugh did that with Minnesota. He was on his way with the Vikings. He was on his way. He was on a recruiting trip from Michigan, and it never went to the kid's house. He just got on his plane and flew to Minnesota to do that. That's mean. That's very mean.
It happens. It happens from time to time. Anyway, guys, it is Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are live at the Highway Cantina. Still nothing new on the Houston Rockets front as far as potential trades. They made a bunch last night. There's rumors that they might go after Kevin Durant. There's rumors that they could, down the road, go after Devin Booker. And on top of that, we'll keep you posted on what's going on with the Houston Astros. But up next, we're 71 days away from the start of the NFL season. A quick edition of our NFL countdown. It's Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 at the Highway Cantina.
We'll tell you about my friends at LaBerge Lake Charles. Myself, Brian Sean, will be there this Saturday from 12 to 3 doing the bullpen. We'll be out there watching the UFC fights. The Astros game's going on this weekend. Everything. It's a great place to go and watch and bet on your Texas teams. You should download the Penn Play app before you go. While you're there, you can win up to $500 in Penn Play cash every single week. You can do that here while you're there. Awesome. 19 betting kiosks, 24 televisions inside the sportsbook. Outside on the patio, they'll have that going still. They'll have a massive TV, which is where we'll be seated watching the UFC fights on Saturday night. I can't recommend enough. Great food while you're there, whether it's the steakhouse that's there. My wife and I ate there the first time. We're probably going to hit it back this weekend as well. The food inside the sports book is awesome. Brian McDonald can tell you later about the Death Burger. It looked terrifying, but he loved it. So they're awesome food. Mapes has had the pizza. Paul had the steak the last time we were there. Tons of options for the food inside the sports book. When you want to leave Texas and go bet on your Texas teams, I can't recommend LaBerge enough. Tell them Joe George sent you by.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
All right, guys. 71 days away from the start of the NFL season. Who's the best number 71 in NFL history, you might ask? Is it going to be some Hog Molly, some big old offensive lineman, or someone who used to work
Titus Howard.
In Seattle, Titus Howard is not the answer, Joe George. I'm going to say Walter Jones.
Easy.
Who was the left tackle for the Seattle Seahawks back in the day. Alex Karras, who played Mongo in Blazing Saddles. No? Mm-hmm. Anyone? Is that a dated reference for you?
A little bit.
Okay.
It's not for you, too?
No, Blazing Saddles is an amazing movie.
I mean, yeah, but it's still dated a little bit, I would say.
I don't know. I actually still think it holds up well in the Mongo-only pawn in Game of Life.
Xavier Sulafilo, number 71 for the Texans. Controversial draft.
Yeah, I feel bad for Xavier Suafilo because I feel like he was always behind schedule. There's this weird thing in the Pac-12 where you have to stay at school into OTAs and minicamp. I don't know why the NFL's never adjusted around that.
Well, Pac-12's gone now, so it doesn't matter anymore.
That's true, RIP.
They're dead.
But it was an issue for him leaving UCLA. So there you go. All right, quickly we go around the NFL. Uh-oh, Texans. Anthony Richardson is a full go for training camp.
All right.
The shoulder soreness that he suffered early this month is not a concern for Chris Ballard on the GM Shuffle podcast. Chris Ballard, general manager for the Indianapolis Colts.
Till he gets hurt again.
Hey.
I mean, he seems soft as glass. Breakable as glass. That was not right. I corrected
soft him. As glass.
Yep.
That's a new one.
That's why I fixed it. Breakable as glass.
I refuse to call an athlete soft.
He's only played in one game where he played four quarters.
Doesn't make him soft.
Okay.
I refuse to call an athlete glass as well.
I mean, he gets broken a lot.
Doesn't make it, what? He can't control that. To call him glass, it's like an indictment on his character.
Okay. I don't think so, but I hear what you're saying.
Let's
injury prone.
I'm just gonna say it like this. I don't think you should be allowed to call anybody soft if your belly looks soft enough to lie on it. I'm not talking about you necessarily. If your belly looks soft enough to lie on as a pillow, I don't think you can call anybody soft.
I don't get hurt every time I do an activity.
I'm just saying that. Like, what looks softer? Someone who plays a sport and gets hurt, or someone who looks like he's got a nice little belly pillow?
Paul, this is mean.
How is it mean?
You mean me?
This is also
me
directed
right
at Jeremy Branham.
Oh,
God. No one says that word more than that. What? What? I'm sorry. I can see my abs. I mean, like, sorry to shame everybody, but your boy works out. He eats healthy.
Oh, Paul.
You shouldn't be able to call someone soft if you're a fatty boombatty.
Fair.
Because you are literally soft if you do that.
But
you are physically soft. Like, look at that. Ooh, bloop,
he's,
bloop, bloop, bloop,
he's,
bloop.
He's broken. He's just broken a lot. He's often broken.
Okay, I get that.
He's a broken man.
Oh, he gets injured a lot, but the guy is a beast of an athlete.
Oh, that I agree with.
Can't call him soft, can't call him glass.
You know, not on the field.
No, I refuse to allow anybody to do that. Cody does that occasionally from time to time, too. I'm like, come on, guys. At least try to work out, okay? Sorry to shame everybody in this industry who is a fatty boombatty. But your boy works out, and all of you embarrass me. You embarrass me. You should all be in better shape. This is what I have in common with the ex athletes in this industry. Not like the actual being good at sports side of things.
Uh-huh.
I'm done now.
Okay, let's move on.
Bryce Young says last year doesn't hold sway over what we're doing anymore.
Well, that's good.
Does that mean that applies to CJ Stroud too?
No, he's got a new coach. He's got a new everything. You know, I mean, he still can't see over the offensive line. See, I can say that because I'm short. Okay, so don't come at me for that one, Paul. All right?
Sorry, that did feel a little mean.
It's okay.
In retrospect. A little targeted. I was just going to say, like, well.
I know, it's very funny, though. It's okay. It's right. I love it. But Bryce Young, you know, still can't see over the offensive line. So, you know, that doesn't change for him. But good luck, Bryce. He'll have wide receivers who are maybe a little athletic this year.
Yeah.
I can also say that because Adam Thielen and I are both white. So, ooh. You know, not athletic.
Whoa! Now you're putting our people down.
I am.
That's not cool. What? No, you can't. You can't. Why are we putting our people down?
I'm just saying that. I can't.
We've got Caitlin Clark.
I mean, she can shoot. So can J.J. Redick.
That's true. And he can coach. Also, J.J. Redick may have said something bad, and that went viral yesterday.
I forgot about that.
And then I looked up an article, and it was like the first thing, ESPN.com. J.J. Redick apologizes for Asian slur.
He say stumbled?
I don't know. I didn't even watch the video. I just saw there was a – I was like, J.J. Redick racist?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up to see if there was anything at Duke. Because someone claimed that
he had
said something racist to her at Duke. And the first thing that came up is J.J. Redick, Asian slur, and some sort of video to promote basketball in China.
Yikes. Any other football stuff?
No, that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Woo! What a segment.
Dewa Donna asks, Paul, I'm waiting for you to join me in Pilates class. I got to do Pilates again.
Mm.
You got to find my Pilates Illuminati wife.
I mean, you're back on the dating app, so.
I am back on the dating app.
Do you have, like, a preferred Pilates?
No, but I'll be honest. I've paid extra this week for both Bumble and Hinge.
For what?
Because you get more matches. And I confirmed, you get more matches.
I mean,
if
Paul,
you pay a little extra.
I mean, Paul, maybe you're at the age where you need to, you know, move on to more mature dating apps.
Only Grands?
Match.com.
Oh, Match.com. I mean, that would be off my phone, at least. Anyway, that's going to wrap up our countdown to the start of the NFL season. We're 71 days away. What are the Rockets going to do tonight? What are the Astros going to do in their game against the Rockies? Are they going to get to 7 in a row? Is Paul Gallant going to make it through this show without completely lambasting a group of people? We'll see.
No.
It's Gallant and George. We're getting drinkier and drinkier. See, that's not even a word. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Rockets have pick number 3 tonight. A lot of people believe that they're going to take Reed Sheppard out of Kentucky with that pick. They also made a couple of trades last night to get draft picks from the Phoenix Suns in the first round, trading Brooklyn Nets first-round picks to get them. Some have linked them to Kevin Durant and to maybe down the road, Devin Booker. We'll see what happens. If we see anything new, we'll keep you posted. It's been rather quiet on that front since this morning when Brian Windhorst and Stephen A. Smith had a source-off, which you will hear at 2 o'clock. Also, the Astros and Rockies are tied, nothing through 4. The Astros have not scored in now 13 straight innings after 5 innings to open last night's game. Meanwhile, the Seattle Mariners lead the Tampa Bay Rays 5-1 in the bottom of the 9th, so it doesn't look like the Astros are going to gain any ground on Seattle today. Joe, I have some very sad news.
Oh, no.
This news has to do with the United States women's national team, a team that's been disappointing us left and right. Alex Morgan, American hero, not only a woman who has done so much for U.S. women's soccer, but also somebody who found a way to make Epcot her happiest place on earth. She is not going to be on the Olympic team.
Man, now I really won't watch any of the games.
Oh, you weren't going to watch them?
I mean, maybe later on in the tournament, in the Olympics. I don't watch the early round stuff.
You don't watch the early round stuff?
Mostly in general with the Olympics. I don't get into the Olympics at the beginning. I feel like until the basketball stuff, like for the men's team, they're playing nobodies. Like they're gonna win most of those games, not very competitive. So until like you start getting in like the gold medal rounds and that stuff, that's when I really piques my interest. But did she get cut?
She just has not been named to the U.S. Olympic
team.
Wow. And I'm bummed out about that because I don't think anyone's embodied the American spirit quite like Alex Morgan, who on October 1st of 2017, while at Epcot, which is the like nerd park in Disney World, she was described, along with a couple of other fellow athletes, as being impaired and verbally aggressive towards staff and around guests. They were given trespass warnings, were banned from Disney property, had no charges filed. But according to a deputy, Morgan was yelling, screaming, and appeared to be highly impaired. She posted an apology in a tweet. I will learn from this and make sure it doesn't happen again. Well, I wanted it to happen in Paris.
I mean, look, you just have to eat before you drink. That's how you learn this lesson. It's not a hard lesson to learn. When you go to Epcot and you're going to drink around the world, eat before you drink. You'll be fine.
I don't think I've been to Disney World since I've been of a drinking age.
I have not either. We're going for a day this summer. But, you know, at this point, I'm not going for me anymore.
Which park are you going to?
We haven't decided yet. We're thinking about the Animal Kingdom, but we're going in July, so it's going to be so hot, so there'll be no animals for my son.
It's going to be hot everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, as somebody who has gone to Disney World a lot because I lived in Florida and you would get a discount, and I lived an hour and a half away from it, I used to play a football game at Disney World every year, and we would go and visit the Magic Kingdom afterwards.
Uh-huh.
I recommend the Magic Kingdom. Now, I don't recommend doing what our football team tradition was, and I didn't take part in this because I was a little goody-two-shoes at the time, but the Shorecrest Fightin' Chargers tradition of going to Disney World was going into the Pirates of the Caribbean store and stealing as many pirate toys as you could. Not great, especially when you go on Space Mountain and, I don't know, people throw some of those swords and guns off in the middle of the ride.
I mean, Rat Paul over here. Like, what's going on in the show today?
Well, the problem was that we didn't talk about it ever until one year our entire senior class got suspended the whole season because they got caught doing
it. Oh, that sucks.
It was something that was going on for a while, and I remember seeing it. I was like, I'm just going to walk away from all these other
guys. Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call. Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do.
Magic Kingdom is, I think, the best one for a kid that is your son's age.
I just feel like the animals, like, you know, you go to the Houston Zoo now, most of them are hiding and they're
not gonna enjoy that in July.
I think it's so hot. Yeah, but we got a family reunion, so we're going in July. We're gonna go for a day, so I'm just gonna go wherever I can find Mickey Mouse.
I mean, Mickey Mouse will be at all of them, but you're
most
likely, I think, to see at the Magic Kingdom. But it's been a while. I've not been to Disney in a while. One of the perks of living in Florida is that you get a discount when you go there. So there
I do. I kind of want to like abandon them for a day.
Abandon. Your family?
Like, have, like, my parents and my wife and son, they go their way, and I want to go be a nerd, and I want to go to Star Wars.
You want to go to Star Wars?
I'm not going to lie.
I think that's an MGM Studios.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be able to get, you know.
The Star Wars, they had a Star Wars ride that was there the last time I went, but I know that they've added a lot more
Star Wars stuff now.
Since Disney actually acquired them. It used to just be a couple of different things that they had there.
But yeah.
Well,
R.I.P. to Alex Morgan's Team USA.
R.I.P. Also, I got another fun story, and this has to do with pirates.
Ooh.
An intoxicated man stole a boat in Pittsburgh on the Allegheny River. He stole an 82-foot yacht, and he told police, after being arrested, that he wanted to meet the Pittsburgh Pirates. So he got in the boat, started the engine, untied the yacht, let it drift a mile down the Allegheny River, but he couldn't figure out how to get the boat actually moving.
Okay.
It crashed into the river wall and nearly hit the River Rescue Building. As someone who has his Washington boater's license, shame on you for doing that, but no one was hurt.
Oh, no.
The man said, I took the boat. I wanted to meet some Pittsburgh Pirates. That's it.
Jordan just got hit in the kneecap.
Oh.
It's
fighting time.
Yeah. Did he think that, like, getting he just thought stealing the boat, he would find, like, Andrew McCutcheon or Paul Skeen?
Honestly, I believe this person may be mentally, let's just say,
challenged?
In need of help.
Yes, that makes more sense.
In need of help.
Yeah.
So here's how they found him, the cops. Sitting there, laying back, passed out with pistachio nuts everywhere. A bottle of rum, mostly all drunk, just a little in the bottom.
That's awesome.
So this guy got hammered. Had a bag of pistachios.
Yeah.
Got in a boat. Crashed it.
Drank the rum.
All because he wanted to see
the Pittsburgh Pirates.
And meet the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yep. He's like, this is where I find Paul Skeens. Is on the water with my pistachios and my rum. This is where I find the Pittsburgh Pirates.
It could have been that. And maybe he saw that picture of Paul Skeens' girlfriend, Libby Dunn, in the boat. And was in search of what pirates look for.
Or booty.
Yep, that's...
Or...
I mean, it felt like it didn't need to be said.
I did.
I'm a professional. I'm an adult.
I'm not.
You are married, sir. How dare you think about booty?
No, I was just stating the word of what you were trying to say. Unless he thinks there's real Pittsburgh Pirates, not the baseball team, the Pittsburgh Pirates. And that might go back to the whole, like, mentally, like, need some help thing.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, the stadium is on the river because two of our friends have been to the Pirates stadium not too long ago. I don't know if there's a dock there, but maybe there's no dock. Okay. Well, maybe they thought they were just going to drive it ashore, just go full speed, full send.
And just, maybe they were climbing to the stadium. Like, remember the Red Sox fan that did that during the pandemic?
What's that?
He, like, climbed up. He somehow got into the stadium from the top.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I guess I haven't seen, like, the outside of Fenway to where you could even accomplish that, but maybe that's what he thought he was going
to
do.
Yeah, dude, it's not that hard to get into Fenway Park.
You just got
to
climb?
Yeah, you just got to climb up the wall, dude.
I learned that from Ted.
So there you go.
Ted the Bear.
Ted the Bear.
Ted the Bear, climbed.
Keep going with that Boston accent. I want to hear it. I'm going to give you some pointers.
Ted the Bear, he and Mark, they climbed up the Green Monster.
It's not terrible, but the way that you're saying your R's, there's an extra little twirl with it.
I think that's the Chicago thing.
Yeah?
I think so.
Give me a Chicago accent.
I don't know what it is.
You live there.
I'm told that
you live there.
My wife and then one of the interns told me that when I say both, they can tell I'm from Chicago.
What do you say it again?
Both.
You're saying both.
Yeah, but they said I said it weird.
Yeah, I don't hear it.
I don't either, but they said it. I don't know.
Maybe I watched so much The Bear that I've become an honorary Chicago.
Oh, how many more days?
It's
tomorrow.
The Bear's back.
Tomorrow, The Bear's back.
Oh, tomorrow's back. Wow, we got so much good television. And now all of a sudden the Astros are good. Things were getting good, Astros.
I know, they got good at the worst time.
I gotta watch baseball instead of watching The Boys and House of the Dragon. Just kidding. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We had a good old-fashioned source-off this morning when it comes to what the Houston Rockets might do tonight as the Astros just took the lead against the Colorado Rockies 1-0, looking for their seventh straight win. We're at the Highway Cantina in downtown Houston on San Emmanuel. Come out, hang out with us, have some tall Texan margaritas. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.